epistle of Pilgrim to be read for this, the 26th Sunday after Pentecost and the last Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brethren, we have been praying for you unceasingly, asking that you may be filled with knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. May you walk worthily of God and please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be completely strengthened through his glorious power unto perfect patience and long-suffering, joyfully rendering thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. And the Holy Gospel. I would like, if you would, to please pick up your bulletins and follow along in today's gospel. It is very essential. Today's gospel is according to St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him who reads understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything from his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. But woe to those who are with child or have infants at the breast in those days. But pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, nor will be. And unless those days have been shortened, no living creature could be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Then if any one of you say to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' do not go forth. 'Behold, he is in the inner chambers,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines even to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the body is, there will the eagles also be gathered together. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then will all tribes of the earth mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty. And he will send forth his angels with a trumpet and a great sound. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now when the fig tree, learned this parable, when its branch is now tender and the leaves break forth, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all these things have been accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. Before anything, my beloved people, this morning, I will bring to your attention certain things. First of all, the weather being as it is this morning, we will not have catechism class, and get out of it as quickly as possible and herd up your children and bring them into the automobile, take them on and get them out of this drizzle. This is bad weather and there's a lot of sickness going around. We will have Sunday Vespers this afternoon and benediction at the usual time of 5 o'clock. Tuesday is the feast of Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal. I think all of you know about the Miraculous Medal, and I recommend that we pay attention to it and pray to the Blessed Mother, most especially on that day. Thursday, we begin the novena to the Immaculate Conception. I apologize, really, for not giving in the bulletin today the importance of the Immaculate Conception that we normally do. We just simply forgot it. And the devil does not miss a single opportunity to cause a downgrading of the Blessed Virgin Mary as many times as he possibly can. Let us remember that next Saturday is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. It is a holy day of obligation, and that we will have masses here next Saturday at 6 o'clock in the morning, at 8 o'clock in the morning, and at 7 o'clock in the evening. Let me look to be sure that that's correct. At 6, 8, and 7. I bring to your attention and ask for your prayers. I'm not sure, because I didn't get a clean message on this. One of the parents of our Kathleen Mullen died, and the Mullins are with her parents at the present moment. That's all I know. So please remember the parent of Kathleen, our Kathleen Mullen. As I promised you last week, for those of you that may be new here, that we would have the Advent wreath out here for you to see. Of course, it's not expected that you have such a wreath in your homes, but you can construct a modest one and place it perhaps on your dining room table or in a very prominent place where you can carry on the ceremonies that normally go with it. And you'll notice that outside in the vestibule, we have these little purple leaflets here. Please pick one up per family, because all of the ceremonies are included in this little purple pamphlet here. And the pamphlet will give you the instructions to follow. For the first Sunday, you light the first candle. The second Sunday, you light the second, and you have two candles. And the third Sunday, you light the third candle. It's three and the fourth, and so on. So this is the way, the proper way to follow the Advent wreath ceremony. Up here in this little basket, we have blessed wheat. There's plenty of it here, and take up as many as you need for each of the members of your little family. And each of you, use them. Last Sunday we described how to take care of that. And now we go forth and we start using what is here. Whatever little wheat is left over after Advent is over, simply take it and spread it across the lawn of your home, your houses, all across in the grass, and let it sprout as it will later on in the spring. This is not a child's ceremony. It may look childish, but it is a most grown-up ceremony. Mothers and fathers, I speak to the fathers very intently. So many people are missing this morning for whatever reason. I speak to the fathers. Let not your maleness get in your way. You, mother and father, have much more to gain from this devotion, actually, than your children. And when Christmas comes, and as you go along through Advent, rather, as you go along through Advent and you watch your little planter, meditate upon it, grown-ups. Meditate upon it. Is it a barren desert that you are bringing to the Christ child on Christmas Day, or is it a fruitful garden? Look at your planter and see if it is a barren desert with no growth upon it. That little planter should demonstrate to the grown-ups just precisely how much that grown-up is going to give to the Christ child during this season, how much they're going to prepare to give to the Christ child during this season. The devastation that we read about this morning, people look expected to be as described, an unknowing cataclysm. Let us not try to look for the cataclysm outside, in earthquake and storm and drought and fire and whatever. Let us rather look at the devastation that has taken place in the heart of man in years past. That's where the real devastation has taken place. These little ceremonies that we have here are merely reminders to show us what has to be done to correct this devastation. It's a simple little ceremony, this wheat ceremony. But in every sprout of wheat, we see a little act that has been given to Christ. Not to be looked upon as a competitive act. Little children, do not look at your brothers and sisters and say, look, mine's got more than yours. Mind your own business. And look at what you have done, or rather, look at what you may not have done. Each sprout is a gift. And you should participate. Do not look at an empty flower container when Christmas comes. Rather, look at what you have done. Greater things than that cannot be accomplished than you have that many times conquered self-will, conquered whatever it is what must be attended to. We will speak of the blessing of the bread as time goes on. I encourage you to please again to look at your little home chapels and see what need they may have to bring them to refurbish them and get them going if they've gone asleep. Remember to come up here after Mass and help yourselves to the wheat. There's plenty here. Get a packet for every child. And everybody, use these advantageously. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, without the spirit of prayer, no deep supernatural life is possible. Advent is approaching, next week begins. You might think that during Advent we should increase our prayer life, that we should add to our prayer life, that we should recite more prayers, say more rosaries, do this, do that, do the other. This is Advent. Do all you can. Increase, increase, increase. We don't suggest that at all. We do not propose that you add one single extra prayer to your prayer life during these days of Advent. What we do propose is this. Talk to God. Talk to our Lord. Don't be ashamed or consider it silly or consider it unmanly or to consider it sissy. The stronger the man, the greater should be the spirit of his prayer. What we ask for, not an increase in the number of prayers, but to take the prayer that you are presently saying and say it properly. Enter into it, into the spirit of that prayer. Turn your prayer into a conversation with God. Yes, it's for those of you that are not accustomed to this, you will find it difficult to start off. Yes, you will. You will think it's silly, inane, childish, womanly, or womanish. Not so. It's the most manly thing you can do. And as you go along with this, you will find, yes, your difficulty at the beginning, but you will find that as time goes on, what you are doing gains more refinement, more meaning, more impetus, more spirit, more importance. It becomes more profound as you go along. If you were carving on a piece of granite, to begin with, your first few strokes would be awfully clumsy, very crude. Your instruments that you use would be the coarsest that you had, because you didn't need to. You were just beginning to invade the granite. But as you got to the point that you were seeking, to the perfection of that point that you are seeking, your work becomes ever more refined, ever more delicate, ever more concentrated. And as you get to the finishing point, you are ever so careful in what you are doing. And it's the amount of effort that you put into that little carving that makes that carving important. It's the amount of effort that you put in Almighty God that makes that work important. My dear people, yes, we have prayer cards, and we should use the prayer cards. But our prayer cards should not be the beginning and the end of our spiritual devotion. Do not read words, words, words off of a piece of paper. A simple little I love you coming directly from your heart will give more pleasure to Almighty God than hours of reading off of a prayer card. We do not ask that during Advent that you spend more time at prayer, that you're on the knees more time and more often. This is not it. And with Lent, when Advent comes, can Lent be far behind? Lent is on the way. And we go to this with even more determination during the time of Lent and understanding. The devastation is in the heart of man. Outside, all you have to do is look, is to stop, look, and listen. And you will see quickly where things stand today. I do not want to promote the idea that I look upon you and us essentially, I mean directly, I should say rather, directly as the elect. My beloved people, all things considered, in charity, in understanding, in comprehension, in intelligence, all things being equal, if we are not among the elect, then answer me one question. Who is? It is now the time for us to get up from sleep. It is time for us to go to work. It is time for us to do precisely what Almighty God expects from us, His creatures. And He's not asking that we do the ultimate in inconvenience, the ultimate in penance, the ultimate in mortification, the ultimate in this, that, or whatever. He's not asking that at all. He's asking only one simple thing: for us to act for Him out of love, not out of duty, not out of duty, but out of love. The youth today, and even in our own chapels, are beginning to cry out that they are tired of organized religion. I'm beginning to hear this more and more often about this business of organized religion. Well, there might be something in the bulletin about this in days to come. We're tired of organization. We want our freedom. And religion is too organized, and we don't like it. So we step away from religion, throw it aside, and we step forth with freedom. And before we can turn around and say scat, we are met with organized labor. You have no freedom. Organized economics. Your money is at stake. Organized, I can't think of, I had a whole list of things and they've all gone out of my head. I guess I'm not supposed to talk about them according to the one who is, I want to stay out of my way. But you meet with organization at every turn, organized military. Your children going off to where, to the wild blue yonder. Every place you look is organized. Organized entertainment, organized sports. The biggest business of this country, organized sports. I'm not against sports. People think I am, but I'm not. I sound like it, but I'm not. But every step you take, young ones, you step into the trap of organization. Why do you wish to take it out on God, who is not tying chains around you, but is trying to liberate you and to free you? Yes, you will always have these other organizations to deal with. That's part of our everyday being. But at least you will have the freedom of conscience and the peace and the serenity and the understanding that a child of God is entitled to. And that's all we speak of here. Do not involve yourselves in anything that in any way, shape, or form disturbs the peace and the joy of your souls and of your hearts. There is dissension every place you look today. Dissension this, dissension that, rebellion here, rebellion that. Everybody is rebelling against something. And everybody has got a cause to promote. The only cause that we have, my beloved people, is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ crucified. It's all we've got. It's all we should have. It's all we must have. And it is for us to understand that. As was said in today's gospel, let those who have ears, let them hear. This is where God is. And this is where we must turn as we prepare ourselves for the great day of Christmas. And if we can understand this program of Advent as it should be, then we will look at the other things that come to us during this season as being quite appropriate if we handle them with appropriateness and not let them get out of control. Our children must come to a complete understanding of what we are about. And that it is not a matter of force and whipping and insisting. and demanding. It's not that. Our Lord did not do that. But he did say, learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And each of you, each of us, must be able to say to our children, learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Our children cannot be driven. Our children cannot be forced. They can only be led by our own good example. And these little pots that I'm speaking about, if you use them the way I suggest, those little planters with dirt in them are going to preach a sermon that you have never heard before. Trust me. Trust me. And you will see just how much we give and just how much we don't give. We will see that. And that little pot, tiny little thing, will become as big as the largest and the driest and the dreariest and the windiest and the most troublesome desert there is on this earth. And it will come up. And every wind and every grain of sand that is driven by that wind will come and buffet us in the face. Whereas on the other hand, if properly and appropriately used, that will be a source of great joy to you and consolation. And as I told you last week, what you bring up at Christmas, whether you be a child of 3 or 4, or a man or a woman of 50 or 60 or 70 or whatever, your gift will be the greatest and the largest gift that has been given to him this Christmas, that little pot of soil and those few little sprigs of grass. That's where it is, beloved, precious people. Advent next Sunday. Let it be what it is intended to be, a season of true preparation. And if we do that, we will have, when Christmas comes, we will see, at least, there will still be trouble. We will still be looking for a job. We will still have children who are gone astray. We will still have problems with economics, money problems or whatever, or problems with sickness, problems with death, problems with anything. They will still be there. And we ask, why does God do this to us? Why does God bring sickness and death and poverty and misunderstanding and suffering to us? Why? God does not bring sickness to us, or this, or whatever we're talking about. Sin did, because sin distorted everything. And we are to blame for it, because we are the ones that continue to go in the opposite direction. You hear me speak often and often about the conversio, the turning. It's not, the conversio is not just simply that we have persuaded somebody or ourselves to do good or to do this, do the other. The conversio means we turn around and start heading back to the place we left. And it is only to the degree that we can handle the conversio, to that degree will we understand what God is talking about. That's where it all is, beloved people. May you be blessed.